everybody. Before we start the show, as you know, we just came up on 200 How Did This Get Made episodes. Actually, 400 episodes in total if you count the minis. And we did something really cool to celebrate. We made this compilation clip show of all of our favorite moments and all of your favorite moments that we've culled from Twitter and Reddit and all the places. So take a listen. It's an hour of really funny stuff that I hadn't heard in such a long time, and it just came out great. So I'm excited about it, and I want you to listen to it. So check it out. People, you got to turn your ideas from a thought into reality, and the best way to do that is with Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easier than ever to launch your passion project, whether you're showcasing your work or selling products of any kind. With beautiful templates and the ability to customize just about anything, you can easily make a beautiful website yourself. And if you do get stuck, Squarespace has 24/7 award-winning customer support. They're going to be there to help you out of a jam. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. MailChimp is an easy-to-use marketing platform with a name that might make it sound like they only do email, but hey, watch your mouth, you son of a bitch. They do about everything else, too. I mean, they help businesses grow. They help you with ads and postcards and landing pages, audience management tools, automations, reports, and more. You could say that MailChimp grew so much they outgrew their name, and their marketing tools can help you do the same. That's a challenge, MailChimp. I will take you up on it. I actually use MailChimp for a How Did This Get Made mailing list, so I love MailChimp. Go to MailChimp.com, sign up for free, and see how MailChimp can grow your business. MailChimp, they do more than mail. It's a modern parable about the dangers of urban planning, corporate greed, PTSD, being a father, and kicking ass with one leg. We saw Skyscraper, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people.
Hello,
of Earth.
Everyone.
Oh, so wait sorry. A I'm second. Sorry.
What?
you traditionally do this part?
Yeah, this is I'm this so is sorry. The way it works. Paul.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry.
Damn.
Hello, and welcome.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Rhea, you cannot.
Second and third.
Oh, I got to introduce Jason.
I'm backing up the plane.
Oh, boys. Oh, boy.
Comedy train is leaving the station.
Toot-toot.
Welcome to an all-star edition of How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
I am great. Very excited to talk to you today about this soon-to-be classic rock film. But we have two amazing guests here. You've already heard them a little bit. These are some of our favorite guests. We like to bring them in, and we very rarely bring them in studio. So, very excited to reintroduce to you a guy who is...
Please allow me to reintroduce.
Please allow me to reintroduce.
We're having so much fun already.
We met at my friend's backyard barbecue.
Oh, you know this gentleman as one of the stars of BoJack Horseman, Bajillion Dollar Properties, also his amazing podcast, which I'm going to not mess up the name of because every time I say it, I do mess it up, Spontanea Nation.
Ooh,
yes,
yeah.
Right here on Earwolf, please welcome Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
P-F-T.
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 Welcome,
you,
Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
I was going to say that when we first emailed about this, you definitely wanted confirmation on the fact that we would be doing this because you did not want to waste your time watching this.
Yes.
You did not want to spend an hour and 40 minutes with The Rock for no reason.
I think you had said it was recording. I was like, let me know when it's a certain.
I mean, but now you feel like it's fulfilled. You feel like it was not time well, it was time well spent.
I could not believe how long this movie felt.
So long.
I haven't checked the time on a movie for so long. And at one point it got, when there was like 30 minutes left, I was like, really? Like, I almost wanted to cry.
I started to lose my mind when I was like, wait a minute. I've been watching this movie a very long time, and he's not even at the building.
That is true. Well, let me bring in another, before we get too far into it, because I have all these same concerns. Another one of our favorite guests we've been trying to have back on the show for a long time. She has a podcast called Three Swings, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and all that other stuff. She also, you can see her on her brilliant show, Take My Wife, which is also right now on iTunes. Please welcome Rhea Butcher.
Hello.
Yay. Hello.
Yay. Thanks so much for having me to talk about this classic rock film. I just am thinking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the biopic of Bad Company.
Well, I mean,
the classic rock in classic rock.
Turn it up, man.
I mean, there is something about this movie where you think The Rock can't do any wrong, or at least that's where I was.
For sure.
I mean, you know what you're getting, right, to a certain extent.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But this one's a weird one. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. It feels like it's 220.
It feels like an hour and 40 minutes, but it felt so long.
It felt like days.
Yeah.
I remember when I was getting down on the wire and I was like, oh, wait, movies like this always have long credits.
Yeah.
So I'm closer to the end than I thought I was.
So many more visual effects teams for companies that are now out of business.
Yeah.
But also, did you guys do or see San Andreas? Because I loved that movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I saw... Well, let's not get.
I mean,
in the genre,
you guys just got so excited.
I watched it more than once.
Yeah, in the genre of this.
In the genre of that.
There were more interesting things that happened in that.
Yes.
I saw that most of that movie waiting for a haircut.
Where do you have to go to get your haircut?
You still get your haircut at the AMC 25 in Glendale, right? There's a guy that comes and sits behind you and just cuts your hair.
He cuts my hair in the dark. I like to be surprised. I went on a whim. I was like, I want to get a haircut today. I'll just walk into my usual place. And they said, we could take you in about an hour.
Oh, a haircut on a whim?
Yeah.
I like it.
Well,
I love this.
It was something that needed to happen. And I was
do you then get a whimsical haircut?
Yeah.
A pinwheel on top?
I wasn't planning on this haircut, so let's see what happens.
Give me some Tim Burton-y. And so across the street was a movie theater. And I was like, I'll go see San Andreas until it's time to go over there.
Yep.
And I saw most of it. I think I saw over an hour.
I saw it in 3D, and it made a big difference in 3D.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's breaking up.
It's additional
dimension. It's breaking up.
It's breaking up.
But this movie, I mean, I think the big dig on this movie is like, it's Die Hard. But it's not.
It's not even remotely Die Hard. It's not.
No.
It would be better if it was just Die Hard.
I would watch that.
Yes.
I'd probably enjoy it.
I would have watched Nev Campbell starring in Die Hard.
100%.
The story is, the more interesting story to me is her story.
Yes.
Trying to get her kids out of that building.
Yes.
But we get so little of that.
Yeah.
And so much of The Rock just out on the street, like, gotta get to that building somehow.
It's just a bunch of people looking up at the top of a building.
Why? Or looking at TVs that are set up on the street.
Did I miss where they initially spotted him? Because I felt like he was climbing up the building. Then all of a sudden they cut to an audience going like, where did they come from?
All screens are showing it.
It became American Ninja Warrior. I mean, that's what it was. Like, people were watching like, yes!
Yeah.
Like, who are they rooting for? Why are you rooting for him?
Also,
he's a criminal.
He could be a bad guy.
The way that we have been introduced, the way that the people in Hong Kong are introduced to him as a criminal.
Yeah.
And in all likelihood, they're going to watch him die.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that, it's not going to go well.
Well, I mean, can we also just set up that the beginning of this movie, first of all, I think starts out real dark, almost too dark for a rock movie.
Oh, for sure.
You mean the 10 years prior scene?
Yeah, the 10 years. Yeah.
I did not understand. Okay. it was horrible.
Yeah.
Right. But if the guy is using this little child as a human shield.
Yes.
Yes.
Why does he bother doing that?
Correct.
If he just has explosives rigged up and then he's like, all right, you got me. I'll put the kid down. But surprise.
Yeah.
what was his point with the kid?
The kid didn't bring them closer or anything.
Maybe that's what it was. I want to get these guys just a little closer.
I know I'm going to ice this kid, but I want to get these other guys closer.
But by the way, the
Rock dudes love kids.
But by the way, The Rock was very close to that blast. Like, think of it like that guy was at the kitchen sink and he was just at the kitchen counter. And he only got one leg blown off? I mean, That, by the way, knock on wood, that was a good injury. I mean, he should have been
solid
dead.
Injury.
Absolutely. Oh, and nothing happened to his face.
Nothing, no. Not at all.
Do you
that
know
was
why?
Some of the worst blood I've seen in a long time. That was like 70s blood.
Yeah, that was it really was. Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah.
What I believe what saved his life.
You can see brush marks.
I believe what saved his life was that the child in the scene absorbed most of the explosion. Yeah. That the primary point of explosion was soaked up by a child's body.
Yeah.
And then The Rock was like, I just hurt my leg. Yeah. And Pablo Schreiber, by the way, if Pablo Schreiber shows up in a movie, shout out to Den of Thieves once again.
Oh, flawless. That's a great movie.
Flawless movie.
Great
Den
movie.
Of Thieves, love you. Jerry, call me. But anytime Pablo Schreiber shows up, you know he's a
Jerry
bad guy.
Butler?
Jerry Butler.
Are you talking about Gerard?
Yeah, yeah.
Our good pal Jerry.
Jerry Butts.
Forgive me.
G-Butts.
G-Butts.
You know Pablo Schreiber is a bad guy. It's amazing that in this movie, the casting is such a lean. Like, and then the other bad guy is Noah, what's his name?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, I can't remember his name either.
I have
he's
right
in
here.
Everything.
And he's all. And I was
Noah
like,
Taylor.
Noah Taylor. I was also like, oh, so he'll be the bad guy on this end. Okay, got it.
I didn't know to what degree Noah Taylor would be a bad guy. I didn't know if it's like, oh, is this guy just an officious jerk that gets in the way, bad guy? Or does he secretly have, like, he's in on this scheme, which I don't know what it was.
I could not. I don't know.
I mean, I do have.
I couldn't tell you.
The owner of the building, Zhao Longji, explaining the plan.
But I wouldn't mind if we each took a stab at it.
And then, okay.
Can I go first?
Yes.
Because I think I know the least.
Okay.
So, this guy who builds the building.
Okay.
He somehow has a relationship to these bad guys.
Yes.
There is a jump drive that was at some point their communal property. These guys want that jump drive back. To do that, for some reason, they're going to be mass murderers and destroy the tallest building in the world.
Yeah.
There's no way there would not be massive fatalities.
Oh, correct. Because when that will go down.
But it's not residential yet, though.
Yes.
No, but,
still. I know.
But that's like the bullshit, like,
but
kind of.
That's still like, well, there's nobody living there yet.
I know. That's like this weird new thing that we're doing where it's like there's a real, like, you know, rejection of like city destruction. And it's like, then it's like, oh, we'll do it, but it's empty. It's like, it's so.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
No,
it seems, I don't know.
Especially when it's like the like those Superman movies where he gets thrown through so many buildings, like. Yeah. Okay, I've seen it happen.
I mean, there is
literally, it has no impact anymore.
People are dying.
I love Infinity War, but I was rewatching it last week. There's a line where, like, Iron Man's like, "All right, clear out everybody below 14th Street." Like, he just basically gives a line to be like, "Okay, now no one's in this sector of New York."
Yeah,
which is an impossibility.
Absolutely impossible.
All right, go. Everyone be out of there in five minutes.
Beyond just the impracticality, like, how many people in New York are like, I'm not fucking going anywhere.
People will still be online at Starbucks going,
fuck
like,
you, trick or treat.
Get on my life.
Wait, Captain America's telling me what to do?
No way. All right, so.
You know what doesn't do that? Den of Thieves. Civilian casualties.
Okay.
And Jerry Butts.
Civilian casualties.
And there are consequences.
You see it.
A lot of consequences.
A lot of consequences.
So.
Yes.
That's my understanding of it.
Yes.
The guy who built the building, maybe former bad guy, now better guy.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. Interesting.
That's pretty much all I've got. And there's Neve Campbell was a Marine and doesn't get to do a ton of Marine stuff.
I think I missed that she was a Marine.
Yeah. Neve Campbell was his doctor. Okay. She was a naval doctor.
Naval doctor.
A combat doctor.
Combat doctor.
So, of course, she knows, like, martial arts.
Oh, first of all.
That's what they teach you on day one of boot camp.
First of all, though, it's like
for doctoring.
It's like somebody just wrote it in a script. Combat doctor. Yeah, she fights and she's a doctor. No, that's
also
not what that means.
No, that means she's in combat.
They also mention that she speaks like 8 languages and then later, like, hacks an iPad that is in Chinese.
Well, she can't fix her phone.
That
like kind of foreshadowing drove me nuts.
It's so much.
It's like
it's
every single
into
thing.
Very hard.
It's
wait, like, wait, wait. Okay, before we get to it, Okay, so yes. Jason, what do you think?
Okay. I think I know what it is, which is pretty much kind of what you said, but with a little more complexity. Oh. So the guy is trying to build the tallest building in the world.
Yes. Yes.
At a certain point,
because mankind's dream has always been thing. To touch
higher,
the sky.
It's
our one uniting desire.
Okay, Icarus. at a certain point, that the bad guy, the main bad guy, comes to him, who represents like the organized crime bad guys.
Yes.
And he says, "Unless you pay us money, mm-hmm. we're going to make sure your labor force goes away. We're going to make sure you're not able to build this building." So right. the guy pays them money, mm-hmm. but he puts a digital trace on that money.
Right.
And as a result, all of the nefarious people that the main guy is working for are revealed. So the names that are on the jump drive are the names of like the leaders of the organized crime syndicate.
I'm
going to
jump in on what you're saying because
I don't remember that at all.
So yeah, I don't know.
So basically, there was a computer screen that like yes. showed this.
I think I tuned out on a lot of those yeah. screens.
Well, so basically, like the idea is that he flipped the blackmail by finding out who are the bad guys.
Check. Right.
So he has all of the bad guys on a hard drive. So at any point, he can say, "I can blackmail you." So basically, he right. stopped blackmailing.
Mutually assured.
It's like it's the same thing as like when there's like, well, they've got a jump drive with all the names of all of our undercover spies.
And by the way, that jump drive was gigantic.
It was.
Like, it yeah. was comically big. It looked like a remote like control. A toy.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like a drone that was just kind of like, I was like, this is a weird
thing.
Do
you know what? It reminded me of like a really nice travel toothbrush holder.
Yeah, sure.
No,
or like why can't they be nice?
Or a fancy vibrator. Like a fancy vibrator you buy for a very serious girlfriend.
Oh, I feel like it's one you would buy for
shopping for a nice vibrator. Girlfriend is a serious person. Huh? The like, girlfriend yeah. is very,
very serious.
Like, she's like a business.
She's a business lady.
She's a business herself. She's Molly in Molly's game.
She's a business.
She's a business.
She is a business.
By the way, Molly's game, I have thoughts.
I watched it twice on a plane. Fell asleep twice on a plane.
I loved it for the skiing scenes, and that mm-hmm. was about it.
No. Kevin Costner being angry.
I was in a dark place when I watched last year's Academy Award screeners, and I liked them all. There was not a movie I did not like.
Really?
Yo, I watched everything. Like, yep. Got it. Like I was in this small apartment.
You did it again, Hollywood.
I was in a small apartment in Montreal. My only outlet was screeners every night. I was like, what do we got now? A monster Oscar, calls? Great.
Every Oscar will be a tie. These are all terrific.
You were homesick for Hollywood.
I was. I needed to get
homesick
some of that grit.
For Hollywood. By the way, home run. Couldn't get there fast enough.
Out of the park.
This movie also, the first scene where we see 10 years after
the movie. We're barely at the beginning of this piece of shit.
Neve Campbell, who they could have made just slightly more competent. They show her being the dumbest. Like
with technology.
She knows her way around a tie.
But technology, but phone also, isn't technology.
She was also doing
everyone
it
because
she wanted him to do it. I think was the thing.
She just wanted to connect with him?
Yes. Okay. Like, she just likes to have him do it.
Okay.
But I don't know that they, like...
Which is just restart his phone. Yeah. Yeah, her phone.
Because they usually have those characters be so dumb. You're like, oh, they're making her dumb. But I think they were trying to show that she likes him and likes having him do things for her.
I think so, too. It was also a foreshadowing thing for a fantastic payoff later.
I mean...
Can I ask a question?
I would have loved something just... I mean, it was the...
Oh. It's dumb.
It's such a dumb
thing. I was beyond emotion at that point. I was okay, guys. Okay.
I will say, shout out to Neve Campbell for not Neve Campbelling it up.
She's great.
I actually really liked her.
I loved her in this. Yeah. And I really was like, I wanted her to have more action pieces.
Yes.
Like, I loved the fight at the end. But she's I wanted her to kick even more ass because she's clearly able to.
Yeah. That scene that comes so much later is like, I would have liked to have seen this movie.
This could have been earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
imagine a movie in which the husband leaves, they come back, the asthmatic kid, blah, 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 and then she has to get these kids out.
How much,
as a kid with asthma, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, that kid would have died.
For sure.
I mean, like, the minute they walk out into that smoke, bing, bang, boom,
some might
he's
say
gonzo.
Should have. Yeah.
Yeah. He should have.
By the way,
those kids are going to be so traumatized by the events of this movie.
I would have liked to have seen a movie starring The Rock and Neve Campbell where The Rock just could never get in. Like, and Neve Campbell doesn't
say that.
But you still are seeing The Rock outside, like, shit. Yeah. Okay. I would have been great. I would have liked that.
Just but missing on race.
This movie does spend a lot of time in exposition and describing this building, which at the end of the day, all you need to know is it's tall.
It's big. Yeah.
Yeah. When they were going through all the schematics out loud, I was like, come on.
They cut from multiple sources here. This is just a little bit of the building schematics.
Okay. And this is juxtaposed against the complexity of what it is juxtaposed against the mere simplicity of duct tape.
Yes!
You know what I mean? Like, it is at
none
once...
of yeah.
It is
it
at
doesn't
once,
matter.
Like, the most high-tech and most advanced, and then on the other side, good old duct tape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not using enough good... Yeah. Oh, geez. All right, here's some of the building specs.
From the Great Pyramid of Giza to the Tower of Babel... Brick by brick and stone by stone.
Stone by stone.
From a real thing to a made-up thing.
To touch the sky.
To touch the sky.
Perhaps finally we've done it.
Perhaps finally.
Here, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. I would say arguably many buildings have touched the sky.
Absolutely. You have spared no from your mom's house to the old school you went to.
The
buildings have roofs.
This is just 30 seconds. It goes on for a minute and a half.
A minute and a half?
A minute and a half of exposition. And they would pay off if you actually saw the decks. Like, even in Titanic, you see the different parts of the boat. And you're like, oh, so when it sinks, you're like, I know where I am. Geography.
Yeah.
Here, you just see an atrium and the fucking man with the golden gun room, which is my favorite thing in the entire... All right, so...
Or the full garden.
Oh,
the full garden park level.
Yeah.
Which is up high.
That appears to also be, like, made of kerosene. Like, because it like lights on fire in a way that, like, nothing that is just dirt and green, lush greenery should like erupt in flames.
Isn't
like
it
that.
Abundance of oxygen? Is that what it is?
Maybe that's it. I don't know why. Maybe.
See, why didn't they explain that part?
Also,
they explained all the other shit, the schematics of the building, but not the pumped in oxygen.
Oh, there's a big lack of explanation one that I had a big problem with that I'm sure you did too. Yes.
Okay.
But we're almost there.
I don't know. Go ahead.
We're almost there.
Because I've got one that is nuts.
Oh, okay. Are we at the Hall of Mirrors yet?
I mean, that's what I want. That's the man with the golden gun room. Yeah, I am so... Yes.
Also known as the John Wick 2 room.
They walk into this Hall of Digital Mirrors.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's like Rock's
looking
around.
Wait, the first time you mean? The first time. It's called The Pearl.
The Pearl.
So basically this building has a big...
building was also the Pearl. Sounds like a fancy vibrator.
The Pearl is a serious business.
The pool, the pit, the Pearl.
I could see Diane Keaton. Diane Keaton could use this.
If you can picture the... If you can picture the building...
Put on my vibrator gloves.
If you can picture the building, Paul, the Pearl is the circle at the very top.
Yes.
Clitoris.
The baseball.
Yes.
The baseball.
The clitoris.
That's why I thought you asked Rhea and I to do this.
Oh, yeah. It was a baseball.
So the guy, building man, pulls the Rock into the Hall of Mirrors, and he says...
Which we don't know is a Hall of Mirrors
yet. Which we don't
know
is a Hall of Mirrors yet.
Yeah.
And he, like, snaps his fingers, presses a button, whatever he does, and then all the mirrors appear, and he's looking around. There's multiple Rocks. There's multiple building mans. And then the Rock turns to building man and says, "This is pretty amazing." And building man says, "I'm actually over there."
Yeah.
Somehow has perfect, like, TV weatherman skills to be able to like make his reflection point the right way.
Exactly.
So,
well, that's the conceit of, like, I mean, yes.
Yeah. So the Rock says... Wow, that's really something. The end.
Yeah.
We don't find out what purpose this serves.
Why?
Anything about how it works?
Why would you build it? Why would you need this?
Zero questions.
Why would you need this? Why would you need it?
It's like,
why would you build it?
Yeah.
And why
is
you're gonna
it walk? More?
If yeah. you're going to walk the guy in.
No, I think the only
the
reason.
They made it for the end of the movie.
Yeah. I think yes. the only reason why you built it was to freak people out because, like, when they did that one thing when they went, and he was standing on air. And
oh,
like,
that's the yeah. attraction?
That's the attraction.
Is this going to be, like, the thing that people go and, to? Like, yeah.
That makes more sense
that's
to
what
me.
I thought it was.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
hey, you could stand in space yes. overlooking over the entire city. Like,
okay. Maybe. That, that
I guess, but I don't get why the 2001 like obelisks or whatever because yeah, right. cause it's a mirrored ball and I get like if that's a tourist attraction you go in there and you can stand in space but then to have all these slabs
yeah.
like
yeah.
I was like well what are those slabs why would you ever
also,
need those slabs
dangerous yeah. also yeah, you would they, just bump they, but they jump right out of the floor
yeah.
you could get pretty clocked by
absolutely.
One of those.
I mean,
split in half.
At least in The Man with the Golden Gun, the best James Bond movie, like there's a reason for the Hall of Mirrors, which is like, that's how he wants to hunt and kill people
because yes!
it's more exciting yeah. to kill people in that thing.
yeah.
Like, and you understand, it wasn't like, oh, you just happened to walk in my mirror room. No, yeah. it was a hunting ground.
I'm addicted to buying mirrors.
I can put anything in here. Why don't we watch the Rugrats movie?
I love this Rugrats movie. Don't you mean the one that's behind you.
Oh, wait, I was watching yeah! the wrong screen.
By the way, I get confused just thinking about how you would have to really understand that you'd almost have to be a bird to properly get the geography
yeah.
of that room. And yeah. the way it's used at the end, there's
also,
no human way when everyone's fucking
he
fighting.
He also
and
doesn't know, the man, the building man, doesn't know what screen Dwayne The Rock Johnson is looking at.
No.
Because he himself is not looking, I don't think, at The Rock.
Right.
The physics don't line up.
It's almost as if this doesn't make sense.
Hey, everybody. Big news for you all. Slice, my Halloween horror movie-esque B-movie, midnight movie, is right now available on Amazon Prime for free. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. There's no in-between, as I've seen from Twitter comments. All right, so I am a big fan of this company, Simply Safe, and they have this amazing home security system that is ready for anything that gets thrown at it. So basically, it's a brain in your house. If a storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is ready. If an intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. If they destroy your keypad on your, you know, your alarm or your siren, Simply Safe will get you the help that they need. And this is what I love about it. Maybe it's overkill. Maybe you don't need to be ready for every worst case scenario, but they are, just in case. And that's what you want. You don't want to use the thing. You just want to make sure that you have the thing, all right? And that's what makes it great. Now, Simply Safe could cost an arm and a leg, but it doesn't, all right? It costs $14.99 a month. That's reasonable, it's fair, and it's good. You're going to feel good about it because you know what? You're not going to sign a big contract. No hidden fees. It's $14.99 a month to keep you Simply Safe. You guys check it out. Go to simplysafe.com/bonkers. That's Simply, S-I-M-P-L-I, safe.com/bonkers. SimplySafe.com/bonkers. Let's get into our friends at Casper. Oh, I love Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. How do I know? I sleep on a Casper mattress and I love it. I actually had the thought when I got into my bed after being away for a couple days last week, like, oh, I love my bed. And it's because of this amazing mattress. And now you can pick one of their three mattresses, the original, the Wave, and the Essential. They're perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry, not to mention the breathable design that helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And it's delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that box? With free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. I'll tell you one thing. I got this box delivered to my house, and it was the only day it rained in California and the box got soaked and I was like, oh, I'm so pissed. No fear. That mattress is wrapped up so tightly in plastic, nothing got to it. It's a durable, amazing product. And here's the thing. It's going to get delivered right to your door too in US and Canada. And the best part is you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Here's the deal, people. You get $50 towards a select mattress by visiting casper.com/how and using H-O-W at checkout. That's casper.com/how. Offer code how for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Now back to our show. They literally, but this is the problem with the movie. The first 20 minutes are scenes that are just holding exposition and foreshadowing. Yes. And that's why it's not engaging at all. It's
no.
Just like, okay, got that.
This is honestly the craziest amount of foreshadowing I've seen in a movie where it's so heavy where it's like, okay, that's coming back later. Yeah. And that will be coming back later too. And we haven't heard the last of that one.
Can we just even go back this? Okay, so the big plan was The Rock needs to get the iPad on him. Then they were going to rob The Rock,
yeah.
Steal the iPad.
Rob The Rock.
And now
RTR.
The weirdest thing is they're in Hong Kong. They're in this beautiful building. The family's going to go to the zoo to the nighttime panda feeding.
Yeah.
Okay. It was leaving. They left during the day. I don't want to get too much into that. But then The Rock has his job interview and then for some reason gets on a ferry to go to his friend's like apartment, why do we need to get on the boat? Why are you going so far away?
Why are they staying at the building?
Yeah,
why would you leave the building and get on a boat?
Why wouldn't you just go meet your family at the fucking zoo?
I'm panda feeding.
I don't want. Yeah, if I'm The Rock, I want to see them pandas.
Also,
I
see those goddamn pandas.
You're telling me
the building guy
is going to give The Rock the most important device.
Yes.
The iPad, the most important.
Yeah.
He hands to him. After 2 minutes of talking to him,
yeah,
you're telling me none of the rest of these guys who are integral to that guy's outfit,
yeah,
security wise, everything, can ever get to that iPad? Oh, yeah. I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, first of all, I would say that the technology level on the bad guys is low because when one bad guy gets a note from the other bad guy, it just says unknown in the iPhone screen, is like unknown. Like, did you get the package?
Yeah,
but I was like,
they don't share each other's names.
Did he Star 67?
But no, he should know he's dealing with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they should know.
You wouldn't just be like, I'm not going to put that number in my.
Well, no, that's because I think they have to do that because otherwise we would know who he's talking to. And I think he's talking to Noah Taylor. Yeah. Or something.
Oh,
but it just made me laugh.
Oh, no,
that
it's such, it's
it was
ridiculous.
So stupid. Like,
yeah.
Oh, just make it unknown. You have a long text conversation with unknown.
Can you ever really know someone, Paul?
I would love it if, like, just above, like, him being like, he's got the iPad, get him on the boat, but just above you saw, like, the bottom of a dick pic.
Yeah. We didn't really.
And, like, the words, was that for me?
We haven't really touched on it. It's going to come into play a lot more as we get to this part. The Rock has a leg. He's an amputee. So he has a prosthetic. Yeah, not just a leg. He has a prosthetic.
The Rock has a leg.
I mean, that's a very roundabout way of saying he doesn't have one leg.
Yes. Which is
to
say,
The Rock has a leg.
He
does not have two legs.
Singular leg. The other one, not his.
Question mark? Unknown.
And I have to say that I don't know if they treated this well, the prosthetic leg portion of.
I don't think so.
What's so funny? I did laugh out loud when the leg comes back.
Yeah.
Because it
the
to
very
kill
next
him.
Day.
When the leg comes back to yeah, kill him.
His original leg. You forgot about me.
That's the person behind the whole organization. You left me in that snowy cabin for dead.
When his old leg fights the prosthetic leg, he will be mine. I will reattach.
When the prosthetic leg makes its reappearance,
yes.
It's so much later. I completely forgot. There was no reference to it between those moments.
Yes.
I totally forgot he had a prosthetic leg.
His best friend bad guy, when they get into a fight where they break literally every piece of furniture in the house.
Yeah.
In a scene that I actually realized, like, I don't think I've ever seen The Rock do, like, fist fight. Like, I mean, he's just like slam. It's wrestling in this guy's house.
Yeah.
And the guy just goes for his leg, like sucking it off like a suction cup. Like when he like pulls off or goes to pull on his leg, it felt so violent.
It's very violent.
Yeah. I think I missed that. I think I might have been checking Twitter at the point.
Yeah, so that's bad guy.
Because here's the thing. That's
to be
fight.
Like, who else is talking about this movie right now?
Zero people. Because that fight. The hard thing with The Rock having a fight with someone, even if it's someone the same height, it's like, how would this fight last more than 1 second?
No, that guy's
even
The Rock is a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
Like,
and it looked fair for moments.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they'd give him like a prosthetic, because it's like, well, maybe the it's a little bit more even if we rip a leg. Like, yeah. He is fighting without a leg for majority of the fight. And just hopping around on one leg.
If I do say, kicking ass with one leg.
Yeah, and then his leg is fucked up, and that's why you gotta get the duct tape back in that leg.
Tape. The duct tape budget on this movie, I looked it up, $63 million.
Ooh, that's a healthy portion.
Yeah,
of
that's
the,
a lot.
A lot budget. Of duct tape.
The budget itself.
Yeah. Apparently the movie was shot on duct tape, not on celluloid. Wow.
Yeah, the cameras were made out of it, and the film strips.
All the wallets on set. Yeah.
But he is, I'd also say that the other thing I learned about this movie was The Rock, I'm a fan, but he does not look good running. Whenever he has to run, he's too bulky to make a run look good. Like when he's running down those streets in Hong Kong.
Or when he's running across the crane that he has to jump to the skyscraper, I was like, he would jump for like his weight, his gravity. He's so high right now. Yeah. Gravity would hit him so hard.
He'd stick like a stone.
He would plummet to the ground and splat.
A couple of things about this. When The Rock does make that jump, he jumps from a crane. We'll get it. We can get into that if we would like. But this plan that he comes up with on a moment's notice is insane.
Yeah.
He uses a crane to like anchor himself into a building. Anyway, he's got to jump from a crane to a building. Mm-hmm. And people have done a lot of diagrams to show that if he would have done that jump, he would have missed. The way that the jump is, it's not right at all. But more importantly, to have made that jump, he would have to have been running at 28 miles per hour.
Now, he was wearing dress shoes at this point, right? Johnson Murphy.
Yes. Yeah. And Usain Bolt's record speed. Usain Bolt, the fastest man alive, can only be 27 miles an hour. So he's got to run faster than the fastest man in 30 feet.
Yeah.
While being shot at.
Yes.
While being shot at.
Yeah. And having a helicopter up
there
pushing.
And being on top of a crane where there is wind, I'm sure, that is going crazy.
They did say stop shooting when he started
running. Yes, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. That was Building Man, right?
No, it was the police building man.
Oh, the police building man.
How about this? Like,
who meets him at the end?
Yeah.
The most blatant diehard ripoff.
The guy that's like,
can I play?
Basically, the guy that is saying like that I bet his family's in that building. Yeah. You know?
the consternation that people have, like, why would anybody try to get into a building that's on fire? It's like, I think to help someone.
Yeah. And that's what the other police officer says. She says, why would he be trying?
She asked twice.
Would he be trying to get into this building? Where is he going? First she says, where is he going? He's going above the fire line.
Yeah.
Then she said, why would he be going into this building? And he said, I bet that's where his family is.
Good detective work. So then you have this. You have the cops on the ground. You have the bad guys in the building. And then you have these side street bad guys. One, which is this woman bad guy who feels an amalgam of every, like, she's cool and she's this, but she has no personality. Like, she's just like, just like, you know, her hair is cut down in a way that, like, she looks like the girl from when we watched The Meg. It's, what's her face?
Ruby Rose?
Yeah.
I was going to say Ruby Rose, and I haven't seen The Meg. Ruby Rose! Yeah.
No, she definitely had, like, a Ruby Rose vibe, also from John Wick 2, that kind of severe haircut, but, like, and super badass. Like, it was the same role that Ruby Rose played in John Wick 2, where she's the leader of, like, the hit squad.
Yes.
Of the hit squad that's going out and like doing all the off-site crime.
And the leader of the lesbians. And then
off-site crime, lesbians.
Off-site.
And she meets up with this hacker, and this is the thing that was the most blatant diehard reference, which is this. I'll play it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a $6.5 billion chimney.
That's...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Why this hacker?
Chimney.
It's as if the hacker from Geostorm?
Yes.
Hurricane Heist. Hurricane Heist. It's like the guy, the hacker from Hurricane Heist, got on a plane, flew to Hong Kong in order to hack this guy. It's the same, like, why is he dressed like he's in like a Neil Gaiman book? Like, he's got like a giant collar.
He's also a vampire. Vampire hacker.
Everybody else is dressed in like tactical military gear.
And blight and bites. I'll take a bite.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to hack your drive.
Hope Sigmar Hollywood.
But that, I mean, it is, it's like, it's so, so they create the chimney. That's their big effect, which is, you know,
set the building on fire.
Set the building on fire again, because the lesson of the whole movie is, according to one bad guy, he says, and I wrote it down, it goes, light a man's house on fire and you find out what he truly knows. That's not a thing that I've ever heard.
I think what most men know when your house is lit on fire, that you got to get out of that house.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the number one thing.
I mean, it's such a, because their plan basically is like, if we burn down this building, he'll bring the jump drive with him, and then we got him.
I thought it was cool when he goes to his apartment and his window is a fake wall, fake room. And that, I thought that was, there was a couple of cool little visual beats there that I thought were not too bad.
No, I mean, that's what the end should have been, something like that, not the fucking crazy monolith room with the...
He's also, like, the Rock is, it's another one of these movies where in such a short period of time, he does levels of muscle exertion. He must weigh, I don't know, 300 pounds?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He hangs so much. He climbs. He hangs. He, like, monkey bars across at one point.
He holds up an entire bridge.
He holds up an entire bridge.
We didn't even talk about that part yet.
That part.
I mean,
with an old floorboard.
Yes,
it's like 3 inches wide.
Can you explain?
Definitely
what?
Not long enough.
No, yeah. What was going? So what?
And then she gets to the other side. I'm like, all right. There's no way she's gonna put him on her. She's putting him on her shoulders.
Why would she? Why would you do that?
Not only that,
that's too much weight.
When she and the son fall and almost fall to their deaths, and they stand back up again, she puts him on her shoulders again.
But here's what I was saying: if you're gonna go across a piece of like plyboard on that bridge, just why didn't you sit your butt on it and just scooch across?
Yeah,
like
splinters.
But, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I guess. But
that's,
I mean,
the last thing you need.
It seems so much more dangerous just for a center of balance to have a human being on you.
Why on? Like, there's other ways to hold your child.
If she was a firefighter, I would be like, all right, maybe she's got that.
She knows something.
She's a combat doctor.
Do you
think it was in response to this backlash against the baby Bjorn?
Oh, yeah.
Parenting.
And it's not badass.
He's a little more in control.
Yeah,
it's more of a balance kind of thing.
How about when he puts them in that elevator that basically is a bullet shot straight at the ground?
That plan seemed very sketchy. He might as well have told them, and then at the last second, jump.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he's murdering them.
Yeah.
His plan now is, well, we're all going to die up
this
here.
Maybe he might as well.
Yeah, that would have been an amazing turn.
Oops.
But she
looks like I'm single again.
It's all his plan.
I'm glad I'm in Hong Kong, single, ready to mingle. Part two, Skyscraper 2.
Give me some more duct tape.
But he when she's in there and that thing is speeding like a bullet down past the floors, she's like, 5, 4, 3, 2, boom. Like, she has to pull that.
It's also the slowest 5.
Yeah, I would have pulled that thing like 10 times in a row. Like,
oh, yeah.
I never would have
stopped pulling.
My hand would have been, first of all, my hand would have been on it. I would never have, no. I would never have risked just hanging out in the elevator. I'll work my way over there as we're plunging through.
You wouldn't
through
be
fire.
Reassuring your son, like, this is cool.
I would be one hand
sound
on the
plan. Don't worry.
Dad knows what he's doing. He's going to put us in this death elevator.
It's fun, Paul. It is funny to think that at some point that might be a thing that you say to your kids. Dad knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Dad knows what he's doing. Get in the elevator. Mom, you pull this on 10.
Or my 10 year
5. I don't know.
The elevator. The elevator.
And how would
if
he know? And
five,
how would he know?
How would he know? And B, do you guys realize the reason that elevator is allowed to go straight to the ground is because he's single chop with an axe is an elevator cable in half.
Yeah.
He is so strong. He takes an axe and he chops a steel elevator cable.
He's so strong that he chops a steel elevator cable in half, and he is an insurance adjuster.
Yes.
That's what he does with his life.
Can I ask you a question? He's so strong. And I just want to say it one more time. He holds a bridge up.
Yeah.
Like he's doing the crane work of a bridge.
Yeah.
And he looks like, yes, he's exerting energy, but it didn't hurt.
He
wasn't
doesn't
like,
drink
oh,
any
fuck.
Water.
No.
The Rock doesn't hydrate.
He doesn't need to hydrate.
The Rock doesn't
Do
hydrate.
Rocks need water?
No, Rhea.
When I was at the Arclight movie theater, not to brag, when I was at the Arclight, they did
is that where you get your haircut?
Yes. Oh, it's great over there. I have it on, I think it's still maybe on my Instagram stories, but they had a museum retrospective of all the shirts of The Rock in this movie. It was like, this is the first level of battle distress. This is, and so basically it's like 13 shirts on a wall from pristine shirt to the most damaged.
Same shirt in various states of distress.
Yes. And I stared in front of that wall. I did an Instagram story on it, and I don't normally do those because I was like, this needs to be, I mean, this is insane.
Yeah.
It's like someone had to get those shirts and then go to the Arclight and then set up a glass wall and then hang.
White gloves on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a fucking dress shirt. It's just a dress shirt.
It's 30.
I know what you're gonna get for Christmas,
such a weird
my friend.
Thing. Oh, please! I want all 13 of those shirts.
Paul, tell me you saved the story to highlights.
Oh, Paul, I did.
Okay, thank God.
But that is that. I always thought that was the dumbest thing. Like, even if you were so into it, you wouldn't be like, "Whoa, wait." Oh, yeah, that's when just the sleeve was ripped. Ah, cool.
I remember
those,
that.
I've seen those displays of movies that I liked and just walked right past them. Like, there's no way I'm stopping at all of those shirts.
Didn't he get, like, I forgot about this. He got
stabbed in the shoulder area by, like, metal.
Rebar or something?
So much happens to him.
But imagine hanging with that. I just thought the hanging was odd. But then going like, he's literally in the one place that it would be the most painful for you to hang.
Oh, no. It's crazy. This movie takes place over the course of, I'm going to say, 8 hours?
20 minutes.
No, not even eight.
Not even 8 hours.
I would say, two and a half.
One night panda
so much happens to him.
It's almost kind of real time.
Yeah.
Like once the action starts, it's pretty much real time. Like it doesn't.
So 8 hours? Because that's what it felt like. For real though, it is so from the Pablo Schreiber apartment fight to the fight with the police on the street, stealing a police motorcycle, getting up the crane, getting across the crane, jumping to the building, then everything inside the building. He goes back outside the building, jumping through the turbines. It all happened. He would be so dead.
Two.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
But he is. So this character.
He sounded like me trying to pitch a baseball while playing the show. Anyway, that's for baseball video game fans. I literally sit at home and go, one. Two, three, one.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show to hear a word from our sponsors. People, I've talked to you about Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I'm not a web designer, but sometimes I just want to get something up, whether it's for a joke, whether it's to advertise a show, whether it's just to get the right information about me out there. And Squarespace is the best way to turn my thought about creating a website into a reality of actually creating a website, because Squarespace makes it easy for you to launch your passion project and make it look really good. And I'm talking about on any format, computer, you want to do it on an iPad, it's going to look good there. You want to look at your phone, it's going to look good there. And whether you're starting a new business, showcasing your work, publishing your content, selling products or more, Squarespace is the tool for you, with beautiful templates created by world-class designers and the ability to customize just about anything with just a few clicks. You can easily make a beautiful website website yourself. Okay, everything is optimized. They got 24/7 award-winning support. They've pulled me out of a jam. Check out our podcast page. It's hdtgminfo.com. You got paulshear.com. You also got unspooled.com. We do it all through Squarespace. And you know what? They don't even comp me on these. I'm buying them. That's how much I love it. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers and use the offer code bonkers. Today's episode is brought to you by my favorite, Sonos. That's right. The Sonos Beam is the shit, okay? It's a compact, smart soundbar for your TV. You can play everything you love, from music to radio to movies, TV, podcasts, and more. And it has this rich sound that actually fills the room. I keep it in my trailer at work, and it makes it sound like I have a fucking movie theater in there. You know what? And when it comes to Hollywood and showing off who has the best sound system, it's me, goddammit. Anyway, it's super simple setup, but if you don't even want to bother, Sonos will send someone to do it to you for free. That's right, if you live in any major metropolitan area, Up and Running will have a Sonos expert deliver and set up your system absolutely free. People, you know I love Sonos. Before they even came on board as a sponsor, I love Sonos. So why don't you see what I'm talking about by ordering one of these bad boys at Sonos.com and select Up and Running at checkout if you qualify for a free setup.
This character is, he is super strong. Mm-hmm. He's nigh invulnerable.
Yes.
He's the smartest man in the world. Like, he has knowledge of pretty much everything.
Everything.
And yet has this boring job.
Yeah.
Well, it's like he says a thing on the boat. He's like, I put down my sword.
Right.
And by the way, another bit of foreshadowing. He literally says, I put down my sword. And then later picks up a fucking sword.
An actual sword. Yeah, yeah. He never picks up a gun again. He says, I'll never pick up a gun again or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he never does.
Never does, which is
crazy.
Yeah.
He is an expert. Like, he's a special ops military guy with all that training. He has his child with him. Pick up a gun and defend yourself.
Can I also just bring up one thing? Like, it would have been, if he didn't want to pick up a gun, maybe like he shot a kid or something with a gun. He'd be like, I don't ever want to pick up a gun.
Not something he was near.
Right. Yeah. Because that guy was blew up with a bomb.
Yeah.
It wasn't the gun.
He also told him not to shoot. So then that logic would be, right, I should have used a gun in that scenario, actually.
Right.
This was a good scenario for a gun. You know what? This was the time to use a gun.
And isn't a sword much worse? Like, well, I don't want to hurt someone with a gun, but I will slice your fucking head off.
I do want to feel the blade go into a human body, for sure.
But before I use it on a human body, this sword will stab TV screens. Because he spends the majority of the time stabbing it into TV screens.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. TV screens really suffered in this movie.
Yes.
They really got it bad.
By the way, the sword did not bend or break at all. That's a good, high quality sword.
By the way, great sword. Great sword.
So then,
I've worked with that sword. It's very good.
y'all fans of Forged in Fire or what?
Of course. You know what? I want to watch a man be handed an old shopping cart and turn it into a knife.
And then slice a chicken in half that's hanging from the ceiling.
Is this a show?
Yes, it's a show.
Yes, of course it is.
Get involved.
I've only watched it via the commercials for it.
Oh, in fact, I'm a fan of it. I've watched full episodes and it is fantastic.
I wrote down Edward 40 Hands, but I don't know what that was. I don't know why, because I think at one point he duct tape.
Yeah.
Yes, duct when tape. He put all the duct tape on his hands to Spider-Man himself on the building.
Yeah. Not possible.
What the fuck?
Just not possible.
It's still just tape.
There's an entire Mission Impossible where they have like a super high technology to do that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, we'll just do it with duct tape.
I have to say, this is like, I love those Mission Impossible movies. The last one was amazing.
The one
before that was great. But there's one thing you realize, I've now like seeing those stunts, all these look like bullshit. Like, it's like, there's no, you feel nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even in the one where he's climbing in Dubai, like, you're like, oh, he's doing it. They're like, you are on the edge of your seat. Here, you're like, all right. It's nothing.
That is really the ultimate sin of this movie is that none of the action was fun.
No,
it wasn't exciting.
Well, because it had no practical impact. There was nothing. It was all because it was all computer generated. All the stakes, all the jumps,
super close
all the stuff,
or super far away.
Yeah, you had
in between medium shots.
Yes,
two
nothing,
shots.
Nothing where you are feeling the weight of the action.
Yeah. Even which is what's so good about San Andreas because it has all of that.
and by the way.
Bring it back to my favorite film of all time.
And I will once again, I'll just recommend again Den of Thieves.
But guys, there's no fault in San Andreas.
Oh!
Thanks, everybody. That's our
been
show.
A great podcast.
But I thought somebody walked in here.
But like, just to go back to the Die Hard comparison, I think the reason, like
I turned and looked at the door.
The reason why Die Hard is so good. And I think The Rock would be great in a. I think if you just remade Die Hard with The Rock, it would have been so much more compelling because it's simple. It's like it's wits, it's guns, it's small. Here, like they literally crash a full size helicopter and no one gets hurt in that.
Not at all.
Fucking fireball in a garage. Another thing, like there's a. Like a retractable helicopter pad on this building. I mean, so stupid. But no one's getting hurt. There's just nothing.
Here's the thing about The Rock, and I really like him. I've always liked him. He is undeniably charming. Like,
what's your favorite Rock movie?
You know. but here's the thing. I've seen a lot of movies with The Rock.
I will say Jumanji. I think Jumanji is my favorite.
I have not seen Jumanji.
Yeah, Jumanji is great.
Yeah. San Andreas.
Oh, Moana.
Oh, fine, great.
So he is, and he commits to he commits to everything he does.
Yes.
He commits to everything he does. And he's like in it, you know, he's really fun to watch, but he is so massive. To me, it's almost like an Arnold Schwarzenegger thing. Of you have to address certain things about this person. Where like with Schwarzenegger, when he's playing the sheriff in this Midwest town, like, hey, where are you from?
Yeah. Why is there an Austrian sheriff?
Yeah. So with The Rock, I feel like anytime he meets anyone new, that person should say, "Oh, Jesus."
Yeah. What's your
you are.
What's your story?
Wow.
What's your story? Did you play football in high school?
You know, like how often do you, how many hours a day?
Yeah.
When he has to take his shirt off to fix his wound, I was like, it's 10 years later.
Yeah.
He is jacked. Yeah. He must be working out 6 hours a day.
That's his job.
And here's the other thing about
The
Rock.
That's his job. And then one day a month, he eats like a dozen donuts.
Yes,
and,
once a week is a cheat day. I follow him on Instagram, and I do know this about him. He will say...
Does he follow you? Did he see your stories about his white shirts, I wonder?
I wonder. I know that he once replied to me. I wrote something on Twitter, and I was like, just did a mile in 14 minutes, and he was like, keep it up! But like I just wrote it.
That's amazing.
Oh wow.
But
congratulations.
Yeah, it was a pretty great moment.
And now you're running marathons.
I am running a marathon. But he
classic Rock.
He will say like right before he starts shooting, he's like, here is the body that I have created for this movie. Like he has like, so for Hobbs and Shaw, which I'm anxiously waiting for, wish I was in Hobbs and Shaw.
What's Hobbs and Shaw?
Hobbs and Shaw is the Fast and Furious spinoff with Jason Statham and The Rock. They're going off on their own now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a buddy movie. It's going to be
great. Wait. So the bodies that he creates for each movie are subtly different?
Yes. So he'll be like for Hobbs and Shaw, he's like, this is the body. He says like, this is the body I created for Hobbs and Shaw.
Whoa.
And it's bigger than what he would be in Jumanji.
Oh, sure.
And
then like, where he's just a tiny giant.
Right, yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying, but it's like, but so in this movie, he's like.
Tiny giant.
So in this movie, in some way, he's like, I'm the everyman. This is the everyman body. That's what I mean. Like, so he's like, I got to get back to my everyman
shape.
This
is the guy that goes to Sears.
Let's see. I got to be an insurance guy. Okay. Lifting
gigantic two Volkswagens. Lifting like two Volkswagen Golfs.
That's what insurance guys do, right?
It's an economy car.
What?
I'm an economy guy.
I got to fit into a size 25 shirt.
I wish The Rock was like Robert De Niro and he would change his body type so drastically. Like, yeah. He would be like a real skinny guy.
A little guy?
I was trying to picture him when I was watching this movie. I was trying to picture him as like, right. If he was like lean.
Yeah.
And I couldn't
it's
do
impossible.
It.
Would he look like Manny Pacquiao or something like that? I don't know.
I would love
the
it if
Kevin
he got...
Hart movie that he did. That yeah. I watched yeah. that on a plane like 30,000 times. That's yeah. the only movie. But he's still huge
he's
in
big.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, he's huge.
He's never not been pretty huge.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen. Like, is it the same thing that happens to your body when you're very overweight and then when you lose all that weight, it kind of looks like you... It's like your body is like, no, you stretched me out and now it's,
yes.
it's
yeah.
like, you'd have to get some sort of surgery to clean it up, I think. It,
and
like,
then you wouldn't be able to get big again.
I don't know if The Rock would have to do that. I think that he
you think it gets slim? Yeah. Yeah. Rock, we challenge you, Rock. Slim yes. it down.
He should how do a reboot. Made? Of the Machinist,
yes.
for sure. And then let's see what
Machinist,
kind of an
Machinist
the
2.
The Machinist 2.
Oh, my God.
Well,
Rock Lathe.
We have talked a lot about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. Now it's time for Second Opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
That's John LaJoie.
Nice.
And these are second opinions. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. This movie is relatively new. It just came out July 13th. 2018, so only a few months in.
I honestly really thought this came out a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, no, this is brand new. The budget on this movie was $125 million.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was financed partly by Hong Kong money.
I'm sure.
Because there's so many, like the evil woman hacker, she looks like a Hong Kong star. The owner of the building, he looks like a Hong Kong mm-hmm. star. It's like very much like the Meg. So here in the States, does anyone want to guess what it made in the States? It cost $125 million. Was it made in the States?
$40 million.
I actually looked it up, so I recused myself.
All right, all right.
I had to know.
The budget was what again? Tell me that one more
$125 million.
Time. 75.
Okay, it made $67 million.
Oh, wow.
So a real
good call,
a real big failure. But worldwide, $304 million.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's not even like a hit. It's like it's a mega hit. It made three times its budget. Wow. Okay. So these are the 5-star reviews because I think people on Amazon are more in that worldwide audience here. This is from T Hill. The title is simply a kick-ass movie. Women can be tough too, and Neve Campbell proves that in this movie. 5 stars. That's the whole review.
Oh, God.
These are some great reviews. So this one, this is from a Ghost Star original. If you can't fix it with duct tape, you ain't using enough duct tape. That's the title of the review. Bruce Willis is indeed Die Hard. The Rock lives hard. The Rock is the only man in the world who can be walking tall and be victorious as the one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. I am a pilot, and this film had my toes curled back and my stomach queasy.
Back.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he's afraid of heights?
It's not an expression.
No, I don't know.
It's not a thing.
Thinking so glad that it's The Rock and not me up there. This is a fantastical, over-the-top, big-budget action bonanza. It's very modern, yet very Reagan-era-esque film.
Reagan-era!
Great purchase. The Rock for President 2034.
Whoa.
So he's kind of pushing him off a little bit.
Quite. Well, he wants him to make a few more movies.
Is that an election year? Yeah. Also question mark?
I don't know.
2032, I think, would be.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. 2024.
Yeah. No, guys. 2034. Trust that guy. He knows.
A lot of things are going to change.
Paul, I thought when you said, I am a pilot, you were going to say, I am a pile of shit.
The guy just debased himself. I don't deserve to get kicked in the face by The Rock.
The Rock should piss on me. This movie is so good. I'm The Rock's toilet.
Shit on me, Rock. Someone did just walk into the room.
Someone gave in. It's The Rock.
Welcome.
The Rock is here.
A complete visual callback for the podcast. Classic Charles.
I love it.
foreshadowing.
Turn it off and turn it on again.
Oh, guys.
By the way, if we didn't make it explicit enough, the way that they fixed the building is by turning it off and restarting
it. Turning it on again.
Okay, this one is 5 stars, and it's a little confused. It's written by Mayers, and it goes, it was exciting, and
it's written by?
Mayers is the name.
Bunch of female horses? clap.
So this one, you'll see how it's wrongly, there's a little bit of a weird point of view here.
Sure.
It was exciting.
Is it a horse's point of view?
Yeah.
Not enough oats.
You're going to really get it from the horse's mouth in this review.
I was told there'd be more. guys, we're having fun.
What a gift.
Right from the start. It was exciting, and we so enjoyed it 10 times more than the original movie. They upgraded everything from the acting to the special effects, and as always, The Rock rocked it. So
they mean Towering Inferno?
I'm assuming.
No, I think they think Die Hard.
I feel like there might be another movie called Skyscraper.
Ooh. Wait, it's that movie with Anna Nicole Smith was called Skyscraper.
Oh, my God.
Remember that?
That's right.
But if they think that that's what they're...
Wow. We're getting some nods from the booth.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the only one I know.
I forgot that was called Skyscraper.
Yes. That's basically where Anna Nicole Smith plays John McClane.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, sex scenes.
With her as John McClane.
Yes.
Dressed up
remember
fully.
When a movie like this would have had a sex scene in it?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Those times? What a weird time.
Yeah.
Anyway. This one,
and they made a big deal to say.
Then and now,
they made a big deal to say that their children were Immaculate Conception.
That was weird.
They had sex.
That was the one thing that never came back.
Yeah,
they didn't bring that back up.
We're gonna definitely have sex.
What I think that they said was they planted a piece of his leg inside of her, and then they grew into two children.
a couple years apart.
Gregory J. Burton writes,
pardon me all the hell.
The Rock delivers again.
That's Professor Gregory J. Burton to you.
The Rock delivers again. I found this movie to have an excellent plot. Lots of action.
Excellent.
Not so much foul language, but he spells foul F-O-W-L. And makes for good family drama. It demonstrates the love
good
of
family drama.
Yes. It demonstrates the love of family and showing determination and protecting family virtues.
Oh.
If there was only...
Leviticus for president, 2032.
And then, listen to this. If there was only an American version of that tower, I would absolutely watch it. Like, it kind of like, he thinks it's like Hong Kong kind of sullies the movie.
It's a foreign film.
Wait. So he's not saying... I wish there were an American version of this tower in real life that I could visit. He's saying, I wish this movie had taken place in America.
Yeah.
Oh, that's I thought he was saying, I wish this tower really existed in America.
Yeah. I think he's saying, I wish this movie took place in America.
Yeah.
I think that's the. And then this one kind of goes hand in hand with this one from Jeff, which the title is called Not Predictable, which is good, which is, it's exactly predictable. He goes, good movie with added bonus. There is no mention of our president nor anyone else in politics. How refreshing. 5 stars.
Wait, is this guy seeing a lot of movies with president mentions?
I mean, in 2018, it would be really rough. I mean, you'd have to really ADR it.
Almost impossible.
Well, it's like the LA Times will, at the end, they'll tell you how many president mentions there are in their film review section.
Yes. That's why, and it's just like numbers.
Little president heads numbers at the bottom. Little Lincoln heads at the bottom of the review.
That's right, yeah, any president. this movie mentions zero presidents.
Wow, this movie, I mean,
of course I'm going to see Molly's Game. They talk about President Garfield in it.
this movie came in number 45 out of all the movies in the last 365 days. The top three movies of this year, Black Panther, Infinity Wars, and The Last Jedi. It was beaten by The Meg, which we did in this podcast. And it beat Hurricane Heist, which we also did in this podcast.
Wow.
And the taglines of the movie, anyone want to guess? Any guess?
Sometimes you gotta scrape the sky.
It couldn't get much higher. I don't know.
These are both good.
Going up?
It is. The sky's the limit.
Oh, that's so easy.
And this guy's the limit.
And then, that would have been great. And then the other one is Don't Look Down.
Oh, God.
Which is kind of like, all right.
All right.
Good piece of advice.
Sure. Why do we do taglines still?
Yeah, I know.
They're not helping anything.
Nobody cares.
Just someone in a room really sweating it out. Like,
Who's, and also, who's like, oh, skyscraper, that looks pretty good. The sky's a little, oh, now I'm very interested.
Did you see it? It says the sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit. That's clever.
We should
that
go.
Is clever.
We should go.
That's
limitless.
Clever. That's clever.
These Hollywood people have figured it
also
out.
Also knowing that
Todd,
whoever,
Bridget, we're not going to put that on the poster. Oh, okay. All right.
The people that write these have to write like 75 of them.
Or if not more.
Oh, yeah. And these, those are the ones that made it.
I think, honest to God, an algorithm does it at this point.
It should, right?
Yeah.
Sky plus scrape. Do I put it in quotes or
when the sky is itchy, you need a skyscraper. The rock's a back scratcher and this skyscraper, oh boy. So Rhea, do you recommend this film? Do you recommend people to watch it for this purpose of the podcast? Like in the enjoyment that we've had?
Is it fun?
No.
Yeah.
No, which is a bummer because I wanted it to be.
Same.
You know, but it was like I have made a practice of not getting on my phone when I watch things.
Yeah.
And I got on my phone and I was like, I want to be on my phone, which is unfortunate because like all the pieces, like I said, Nev Campbell was pretty great in it, but she didn't get to do enough.
Yeah. Did you see Rampage? Fun.
No, I didn't.
All right, I'm wondering if...
Oh, my God, no, I did.
Oh, did you?
I forgot we watched it. I watched it with my in-laws at Christmas.
Was it... Where did that fall in the scale?
It's way down there.
Worse than this.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Because it was dumber and noisier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, this is stupid. Who cares about this world? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's
you weren't there for the croc, the giant croc.
Oh, the attempts at humor were terrible.
Well, like, this movie is, I would say, humorless in the sense that they don't even
try.
They try to be kind of cutesy with the family relationship stuff in the beginning.
Yeah,
and it's that to me is and so I will say my verdict is also this is not, I would not recommend this because it's not fun in that way, and it's a weird, to me this is a weird movie because I wouldn't say that it's cynical. Like a lot of blockbusters are like. They're so dismissive of the moviegoer's intelligence that it's a bummer. This one, it didn't feel that way. It felt like it was trying as hard as it could.
Yes.
But there are certain things where like the kids, I didn't care about the kids because the kids weren't interesting.
No.
We didn't get a sense of their relationship. I get that of course parents care about their children, but it would have improved the stakes for me if I had gotten to know them as characters other than just, well, of course, I have to save my kids, you know? And it's like, and a lot of that is the writing. A lot of that is honestly the acting, you know? And it wasn't directed with an eye towards performance. It was directed with an eye towards we're going to have like a lot of stunts and spectacle. And so that it was kind of a bummer in that way, you know? It's not fun bad and it's not so horrific.
Well, that's the thing about Die Hard. The family drama of Die Hard is actually significant. You know, like that he's there trying to make it right, that he's like, there are real stakes to his trip to see his wife
and
rightly, all of this
he's
stuff.
He's got to survive in California.
Yeah.
and by the way, you meet his kids just to know that he has kids.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the problem with this movie too. It's like, well, they're all there, but they don't, like one kid's out, but one kid's in.
These are little kids and they are put in real harm's way.
They're going to throw. Yeah. By the way, that's what's so dark about this movie. She's like, I'll just throw her off.
Yeah. The threat of that would make you just completely melt down into the
forever.
She'd be in the fetal position.
And this is after these children have had multiple guns pointed right at their faces.
Yeah, yeah.
Over and over and over again. People are just pointing a gun in a kid in a child's face.
Yeah.
I was like, this is insane.
It's not fun to watch.
No.
This is why you need like some family drama of maybe the kids are mad at him for some reason.
Yeah.
He's not around enough, or maybe the mom has some fight with
this.
The child.
Should we rewrite this?
Again, San Andreas has all of this.
I agree.
Is this
that's
picture
why it's
locked?
So good.
And by the way, but here's, if you're going to rewrite this movie.
Can we insert some scenes?
I would say take out Nev Campbell. Like, not because she wasn't good, but it just adds a little bit more stakes to it. Like, his kids are there and he's got to go get it. I don't know.
Yeah. I think for me it really was, The movie's mistake is thinking all we care about is The Rock. And mm-hmm. so we stay with him yeah. way longer. There's a period of the movie that is so important about before he gets to the building, where it's him getting to the building.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in that time, we don't see his family at all.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, we yeah. forget they exist.
Totally.
If yes. we'd had interspersed in that 15-minute, 20-minute section, three scenes of Nev Campbell and those two kids navigating, having problems, doing more stuff, we would have been more on board for them. We yes. could have seen, had more stakes with them. Because
yeah.
they are unequivocally, in that instant, having the more interesting thing yeah. happen to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are in a building that is on fire. He yeah, is yes. safe. Yeah. He's on the streets. yeah. He's fine.
Yeah. And it's taking so long for him to get there
yes.
that the urgency is kind of lost.
Yes.
It's like, well, I know he's going to get in there. It's
I know.
Like, it would have been an interesting movie if he'd been thwarted completely.
And
I didn't make it.
Yeah. The building just blows up.
I can't believe I didn't make it. And then we just see Nev Campbell and the kids at the end like, oh, thank God we got out of there.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to you? I'll tell you later.
By the way, I just want to give a shout out to the Hong Kong news media because they got on this story very quickly.
So fast.
Great coverage along the way. I will let you all know, Jason, you recommended or no?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, yeah. I don't. It's just not fun enough.
I agree. I will say that because I bought it, because I didn't know if I would be able to finish it in one sitting, which I didn't. I watched a lot of the special features mm-hmm. and I watched a lot of the bloopers. And the one thing they talk about in this movie, and this is the one thing that I thought was interesting, they're like, yeah, this movie is very reminiscent of different films. And they talk about Orson Welles, the lady from Shanghai. It's like, oh, you know, God. That's what we're doing.
That
in
has
the
a
end.
Mirror, Hall of Mirrors.
Yeah,
thing,
right. Yeah. And it was like, but like, it, that was not like, I don't know if they're like, yeah, we're really playing off of that. That's our grand finale. It's like,
yeah.
This did not, it didn't feel like, I don't know if it Orson Welles.
Maybe don't mention them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like, I don't know if it's like a perfect, like, oh yeah, it is very much an Orson Welles.
What a beautiful homage.
And they also had this moment where they had like a blooper reel where the Rock, they're like,
wait, they did?
Oh yeah. On the DVDs.
Oh.
Or on the Blu-ray or whatever yeah. it is. It's like one of the unfunny bloopers. Like, we were all really tired on this day, and I just whispered in the Rock's ear to do this. So here's this scene. And so
if a blooper needs an intro, yeah. it's not a good
it's not
blooper.
It's a premeditated blooper.
It's a premeditated blooper.
You know what I do a lot of? I set up a lot of bloopers.
I set up some bloops.
And I don't like PMBs.
And it's when the building man is explaining the extortion plot that we don't know exactly what it is. Yeah, he goes, so what do we do? And the Rock turns, looks right down the barrel of lens, like, we got to call Bruce Willis. And then no one laughs. like you don't know, you're like, crude laughter. And
not
he's
a joke.
He's kind of sells it, but doesn't. And it just like, and it just, and it like, I've never felt more, I felt like I walked in on my parents' thing. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have seen that. Like, I saw too much here. It was like, because normally we hear like people laughing or people cracking. Yes. No, it's like, nope. Just, nope.
Especially with the setup, like everyone was tired.
Yeah.
It was a long day.
It was a long day. Everybody wanted
so
to
I decided
get the take.
I decided to waste a take.
Yeah.
I decided to waste a take on an unfunny joke.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody had to keep working.
Use someone else as my instrument.
Yeah. Ha ha!
Good blooper. Great and I have a joke. Movie of bloopers coming out. It's going to be really good.
Movie of bloopers.
Bloomy. Bloopy.
Well, you know, we love having you guys on the show, but we want to follow you in other places. Rhea, where can people find you? What are you interested in telling people about right now?
Well, my podcast, Three Swings, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to start doing baseball movies in the off season.
Oh, nice.
Instead of, because I think that trades and all that stuff is really boring.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
give a shit about that. I mean, I'll talk about it, but not that much. But I want to go through like all the baseball movies and potentially all of Ken Burns baseball too.
So oh, nice. Wow.
For like the off season, I want it to be more of a movie podcast.
And I love that.
So
that's cool.
I have a great
people who are into baseball movies. You should listen to that.
I want to talk to you about one movie that I loved with Jennifer Connelly in baseball. Do you know what movie that is?
Jennifer Connelly in baseball.
I'm gonna.
Is it For the Love of
7 Minutes in Heaven. Oh, the movie.
I loved that movie.
That movie I loved.
I loved that movie.
Right?
I fell in love with Jennifer Connelly
me
on that movie.
Too.
When, and was I this an older movie?
It came out in 1985.
It's like a coming of age story. It's like a high school age kid's
And I think
story.
It's like Mark, here, let's see, it's like Mark Ruffalo and, here, wow. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Josh Charles?
We'll have to cover that one, and then you'll have to come on
Roger
and
do Stone?
Great.
no, I guess he's not in it. It's Polly Draper. I don't know. It's a good movie. It's a great movie. I loved it. And but there's a awesome side plot, a side baseball plot. So maybe when you get down to the thing.
Yeah.
Paul. your show BoJack just got picked up again.
Yes, BoJack got picked up for season 6. We are reading and recording the episodes now.
So good.
And then check it out next year. The summertime is usually when they drop the season. God damn, what else? When will this drop? I'm sorry.
Next Friday.
Next Friday.
Yep.
Brooklyn, New York. Spontaneous Nation Live, Super Ego Live, Super Ego Forgotten Classics Live, all coming one weekend to the Bell House, my favorite venue in America. We're going to be there. Super Ego, Friday, November 16th, Spontaneous Nation Live, Saturday, November 17th, and Super Ego Forgotten Classics. We're doing Agatha Christie's Death on the Nile.
Ooh.
We improvise none of us have read the book. We improvise what we think it is about.
Now, do you go back and watch it afterwards to see, or is there anybody to tell you?
No, we will check out the synopsis of the book. And see how close we got, if at all, to any of the things.
I love it.
And tickets, so that's the Sunday, November 18th. Tickets at paulftompkins.com. They're almost gone. I think as of today, there were literally 6 tickets left for Forgotten Classics, and I think 30 for Spontaneous Nation. So check it out.
That's a great weekend at the Bell House.
It's fun!
I love it!
I'm going to be in Sacramento. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah, please.
November 10th and 11th. Two shows on the 10th and one show on the 11th.
Oh, I'm going to be UCB Franklin. November 20th with the Bajillionaires.
Nice.
And then in January.
Jason, you have a movie.
Yes, I have a movie that is opening
movie
in New York today.
What?
If you are living in New York and you are there today, November 9th, please go to the movies and see The Long Dumb Road, it's called. It is myself and Tony Revolori. It is like a classic American buddy road trip comedy. It went to Sundance this year. It's great. It's really funny. If you like me and you like this show, please, I would love it if you would go and see this movie.
I like both of those things.
Thank you. And then, so that's November 9th in New York, and then it opens in LA and other cities November 16th, as well as on VOD. It'll be on iTunes and all that stuff. So if you're not in a place where it is, rent it or buy it online. But if you are, it really matters. If you're in a city where it's playing in a theater, that you go see it there. So please show your support, you fucking jerks. Get out there, watch the movie, or I swear to God, I will come to where you are and I will punch you in the face.
Wow. I will just say, look, I don't want anyone to get punched in the face, so please go see Jason's movie. I will also just give a plug for our friend Nick Kroll for a show that he's doing.
Somebody help him out.
We gotta get on there. Jason and June are on that as well. I have a little small thing, Big Mouth on Netflix. And I
sounds
do,
like fun.
And I
sure does, Paul. Sure does. My voice sounds great.
And I have a podcast I do with Amy Nicholson, which has been a blast. We watch good movies on that. We just had Conan O'Brien on to talk about the Marx Brothers. As we talked about Duck Soup. You can check that out. And we had a Raiders of the Lost Ark expert on our show.
Was it Indiana Jones?
It was Mr. Indiana Jones. This man came on the show. He knows everything about Indiana Jones and Raiders, and he made us fig-based whiskey, themed whiskey for the movie, and it was amazing. He's a very interesting guy to talk about. He had many.
Did you say fig-based whiskey?
Oh, dates. Sorry,
I was going to say it's a date.
Because I was going to say
dates. Yeah,
bad dates.
All right, people. A big thanks to Devin, our engineer. Everybody helps put the show together. Avril Halley, Nate Kiley, everybody here at Earwolf, July Diaz, we will see you. Oh, and also Kyle Waldron. Sorry. We will see you next week for our mini episode.
Don't forget.
Somebody just came in the studio.
If you have anything that you want to add to the conversation, give us a call at 619-PAULASK 619-Paul Ask, and we will talk about what you want to talk about Skyscraper on our mini episode. Ciao.
Ciao.
What?
Boo.
I like Chow.
I like Dave.
Hey, everybody. Let me talk to you about the Sonos Beam. Now, you know that I love Sonos. Why? Because it's the easiest way in the smartest way to stream your music, your TV, your podcasts, your whatevers, okay? And what I also love about Sonos is it doesn't deplete your bank account. Yes, we all want stereo sound. We all want home movie theaters, blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. But those things are fucking expensive. And here's what the Beam is, okay? It's a small little device, okay, that actually is so easy to install. It's like two cords, one to plug in and one to go on your TV. The remote works everything. You don't have to change remotes. It gives you this rich sound that actually fills the room. You got deep bass and stereo separation for music, plus crystal clear dialogue for TV and movies. It is so good. And if you want to even not even use a remote, you can use your voice because it actually works with Alexa. Okay. And the app walks you through everything step by step. You get to calibrate your room. It is amazing. Okay. Now, here's the thing. If you don't even want to set it up, guess what? Up and Running will come. They'll set it up for you. That's right. If you live in a major metropolitan city, Up and Running will come to your house and install this amazing Sonos Beam. Okay. I've worked with Sonos now for a little bit of time on How Did This Get Made. I have had it in my life for a long period of time. They keep on making their stuff better and better and better. And I wish I had the Sonos equipment when I still lived in an apartment. I use it now at my office, in my trailer. I love my Sonos stuff so much, and you will too, okay? Call if you consider going to websites calling. No, but go to Sonos.com and select Up and Running at checkout if you qualify. See what I'm talking about. I think you'll be able to understand that you can have home theater sound, great quality sound, without breaking the bank. Don't break that bank. Anyway, Sonos.com. Check it out.
Join me, writer, producer, and actor John Levenstein, as I reflect on my life in show business. At John Levenstein's retirement party, I'll share memories, rehash old decisions, and resolve disputes while creating new ones. Me and my co-host, Mary Kobayashi, revisit the wildest moments of my career with the help of old friends from Arrested Development, The John Larroquette Show, Kroll Show, and Portlandia. You'll hear from Kate Berlant and John Early, Karen Kilgariff, Jill Soloway, Nick Kroll, and Paul F. Tompkins. The list goes on and on. John Levenstein's retirement party is out now. Subscribe now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.